Let's pray. Father, we are so thankful again for another Lord's Day opportunity to come into your presence to worship. We are so thankful, Father, for what you have done for us. We've just come through the Easter season and celebrated the empty tomb and sung about it again this morning. We are so thankful, Almighty God, for your goodness, for your grace, for your mercies, for your love, for forgiveness of sin. So thankful for the freedoms of America this morning. Thank you that we can come here without worry and wonder about persecutions. We do pray for our friends and brothers and sisters in Pakistan this morning and around the globe that are persecuted. We pray that you would encourage them and that they would gather together again today and proclaim the good news, the gospel of Jesus Christ, in spite of bombings and death and mayhem all around them. We praise you for watching over us this week. I just want to pray again, Father, for those that have lost loved ones. Pray that you would comfort them. Pray that you would encourage them. Pray that you would strengthen them. I pray for Terry this week as we do her son's funeral, Father. I pray that you would draw her, the family, and all those that will come Friday to yourself in such a powerful, transformational way. Thank you for watching over our sick folks. Thank you for being with Catherine this last week and all the rest of them on our prayer focus, including Matt, who was in and out of hospitals, and as Richard said, Lida, and others that have been sick. And we just thank you for watching over them. Father, perhaps more importantly than anything else, we pray for the salvation of our community, for the salvation of our nation, for the salvation of our leaders. We pray, Heavenly Father, again this morning for the salvation of our family and those who sit in church and those who do not get to church. Save souls, O God, we pray, before it's too late. Thank you for your word. Thank you that we get to look at it every day if we choose. We get to study it. We get to digest it. We get to learn from it. Thank you that we have your Spirit. You have not left us alone, just like Jesus said. We are not as orphans. We have your Holy Spirit here with us, moving, enabling, counseling, comforting, guiding, rebuking, and all the things that he needs to do for us to help us in our growing to be more like Jesus. And so this morning, as we have gathered this spring-like day, we invite your Spirit's presence to speak to our hearts. We, in turn, Father, will set the things of the week aside and listen intently to you. And so, glorify your name here in this church and in churches everywhere. Glorify your name in our communities today and always, we pray in the precious name of Jesus. Amen. We are, in fact, going to celebrate communion again this morning, but we will do that at the closing of our service today instead of the beginning. And so I want to invite you to turn in your Bibles to Mark 16. We're going to go right to Scripture. We are going to be reminded again of the day of the resurrection. We've sung about that. We're going to look at Scripture about that again this morning. And we are going to talk this morning about the power of believing. And I am not talking just about an arbitrary head knowledge about God this morning. I am talking about believing with an intensity that's real and transformational. There is a difference. James is really quite clear when he says the devil believes, the demons believe and tremble. They believe in God. But I am talking about believing today in a new way, in a new level. And so I have chosen Mark 16, 9 through 20 as our text. Let's look at it together. Now when he rose early on the first day of the week, he appeared first to Mary Magdalene, out of whom he had cast seven demons. She went and told those who had been with him as they mourned and wept. If you look at Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and you look at all these resurrection morning events, you see they are different, but they all line up. This lines up with what we saw last week from Matthew. And so it's not that they're talking about different events, they're talking about the same events, it's just that they're different perspectives, but when you look at them closely, they all line up. So here is Mary Magdalene, who has been to the tomb. She went to tell the disciples, and Mark throws in, as they mourned and wept. And I believe for two reasons. One, the same reason we mourn and weep when we lose a loved one, because we hurt. Shock sometimes. But the other, in their mourning and weeping this day, is because of what Jesus will say to them. It is because of unbelief. Bear with me, I'll show you why. Next verse. And when they heard, this is the 11, this is those that were behind the closed doors, this is the disciples, the closest followers, when they heard from Mary that he was alive and had been seen by her, the Bible says, they did not believe. Verse 12. After that, he, that's Jesus, appeared to in another form to two of them as they walked and went into the country. I believe that coincides with the story of the two going to Emmaus found in Luke's gospel. But if it is or it isn't, it doesn't matter. He appeared to two others, and he walked with them and went with them in the country. And then they were understanding in time of who he was, because Mark says they went too and told the rest, and they didn't believe them either. Later, verse 14 says, he, that's Jesus, appeared to the 11 as they sat at the table, and he rebuked their unbelief and hardness of heart because they did not believe those who had seen him after he had risen. And so we know from reading that the other gospel messages that he comes, he just shows up at that night to the 11. He says peace to them. They're trembling in fear, and he says peace to them. The other writers record that, and it's interesting. Mark, who would not have been there because he wasn't one of the 11, but he knew about this story, and not like Matthew and John, who would have been there and said, I'm not writing he rebuked us. But Mark is not ashamed to say he got after us for our unbelief. And then he said to them, go into the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Now listen to 16. When we really believe, and I'm not talking about a head knowledge here, about God. When we really believe unto salvation and believe the word of God to be the truth and applicable even today, when we really believe, he said in verse 16, he who believes and is baptized shall be saved. Hallelujah. And he who does not believe, he says, will be condemned. 17, and these signs will follow those who believe. These signs, brothers and sisters, not just for the first century church, not just for the 11. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever, Hebrews 13:8 says, has not changed his mind. He has not changed his plan. These signs that he spoke about to the disciples that morning are applicable for today. These signs, he said, will follow those who believe. In my name they will cast out demons. They will speak with new tongues. They will take up serpents and they will drink anything deadly, and it will by no means hurt them when they lay hands on the sick, and they will recover. These are the things that happens when God's people really believe. Today in the 21st century, as well as the first century, when we really believe in something beyond our own capabilities and our comfort and our power, things happen in Jesus' name to the glory of God. The same in the 21st century as it was in the first century. I fear, brothers and sisters, the problem is we don't see these things because we don't really believe to the way we should. These things happen when his followers believe. So then, after the Lord had spoken to them, he was received up into heaven, and he sat down at the right hand of God. And they, that's the believers, went out and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them and confirming the word through the accompanying signs, miracles, people transformed, healings, demons cast out, accompanying signs. As I've been thinking about this Easter season and the resurrection of the dead, which we talked about last week, I have been thinking much about Mark's account of the gospel, and I have been asking myself, Jim, people of God today, could it be we are missing out on the blessings of God or certain direction of God or miracles or even salvation because we really don't believe either? Could it be in the church today we haven't seen miracles because we don't believe they happen in the 21st century? Could it be we haven't seen the salvation of our loved one or our neighbor or whatever else because we really don't believe? Could it be we are missing out on the blessings of God because we have not believed any differently than the disciples that morning when they said, "We do not believe you"? I realize that the message that Mary Magdalene brought to the men that day is one that is difficult to believe. I get that. They had seen him die, after all. They had seen the scourging, probably. But for heaven's sakes, they had just seen him raise Lazarus from the dead a matter of days prior to the triumphal entry. They had seen Lazarus come out of the tomb, grave clothes wrapped all about him, and come out, who went in dead and had been there 4 days. They saw him come out alive. They had seen that. As a matter of fact, those that had been with him for a while saw him stop a funeral procession and raise a dead boy out of a casket. They had seen that. They had seen him walk on the water. Now, I say all these things not to condemn necessarily the disciples, but they had seen the proofs of Jesus. And I say this simply to suggest, if we will avail ourselves to the leading of the Holy Spirit and we read intently His Word, I will say with assurance, we have seen the same things, and sometimes we do not believe. Jesus had just told them in Mark chapter 10, you can read this sometime, Mark 10, 33 and 34. He had just told them for the third time, here's what he said, "We are going to Jerusalem, and the Son of Man will be betrayed to the chief priests and to the scribes, and they will condemn him to death, and they will deliver him to the Gentiles, and they will mock him, and they will scourge him, and they will spit on him, and they will kill him, and on the third day he will rise again." He just told them that. And he could have added, as we might today, "Hello! Are we listening to the voice of God?" He just told them all this would happen. And Mary, whom 7 demons had been cast out, went down to see the body of Jesus, to look at the tomb, to do whatever she was going to do. She got the message. We heard that last week from Matthew. She goes back to the disciples, and they did not believe. Here's my point today, brothers and sisters. Isn't only those disciples who aren't believing today either. Society and churches, maybe even people in this one, are full of the same unbelief that the disciples had that morning. "No, I didn't see it. I'm not going to buy it." We believe, we say we believe, but we only want to believe about so far as to what seems reasonable. We believe and we say we believe, but we only want to believe about as far as we feel is humanly possible. That's not faith, brothers and sisters. And I wonder this morning, how much of the written word, the spoken word of God, do we really believe? Do we believe it when the word says we are to live holy lives? Do we believe it that the writer of Hebrews said, without holiness, no one will see God? Do we believe it that the writers of Hebrews said in chapter 11, without faith it is impossible to please God? Do we believe it, the writers of Hebrews said in chapter 10 and 31, it is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God? Do we believe it? Oh, we say we do. But our actions probably show differently. We say that we believe in God, and then we don't do what He says. Why do you call me Lord? Luke wrote the words of Jesus. Why do you call me Lord and don't do what I say? Oh, we say that we believe that the tomb is empty, or at least we think it was, and then we live like it's still occupied. In verse 17, brothers and sisters, listen to me. Listen to the word of God. And these signs, Jesus said, will follow those who believe. There is power in the resurrection. There is power in the resurrected Christ. He said that. There is power in believing in the resurrection. There is power in being filled with the Holy Spirit of God. And sometimes today I feel that the church is impotent and asleep and lukewarm, and we have discredited anything supernatural because we don't really believe it. And because we don't believe it, we're not going to see it. In the 21st century, I believe if God's people, us and people everywhere who claim the name of Jesus Christ, if we really believe the Word of God, we really believe the power of the Holy Spirit is available to us, we would see more of these things happening right now in today's world. They see them in other parts of the world. They see people laying hands and the sick healed. They see demons being cast out. They see all manner of things because they believe, not in themselves, but in the resurrected Christ. And I know some of us absolutely, some of you, many still believe the phrase that the Scripture told to us, all things are still possible with God. I know that some people believe that, and some sitting in churches don't. I recognize that some of us believe that God is still in control and has a purpose for the church, and we need to be part of that purpose. Some don't. Some think that's for somebody else. Some in the church think that's for somebody else. I realize that some of you believe that miracles are as much a part of who God is today as it was at the time of Moses and the time of Jesus and the time of Peter. I realize that some of you realize and believe these miracles are as much a part of the church today as they were then, and some people in the church don't. Don't buy it. No, I don't think that time is for today. I've heard statements like that. I've read them. No, I don't think he does miracles today. That was for the people that's got the gifts of healing in the first century. Friends, God has not changed. He's not changed His agenda to save humanity. He has not changed his agenda to use the church of Jesus Christ to go forth and proclaim the good news of the gospel. Jesus Christ, the writer of Hebrews said, he has not changed. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And his willingness to do miracles through his church hasn't changed either. It's only us that affect that because we don't believe any more some days than the disciples did that day. I don't believe it. That's why we don't see them. Later, he appeared to the 11 as they sat at the table, and he rebuked their unbelief. Those who were closest to him, those who walked with him through good days and bad, those who had seen him and heard him, he rebuked them on this day because they said, I don't believe it. Some of us believe he has not changed at all. Some believe he's changed his agenda. When Mark writes, and they went out and preached everywhere, and the Lord working with them and confirming the word through the accompanying signs, tells me that their faith compelled them to go forth in believing the tomb is empty. And when their faith compelled them to go forth, they just went. And things happened to the glory of God. I believe, friends, when Jesus' followers really do believe and really do act according like we genuinely believe, then these things will happen to God's glory. I believe that. I believe that Jesus would rebuke believers all over our nation today and perhaps around the world for our unbelief, just like the disciples that day. I'm going to close with this and we're going to take time for communion. Last week I read a book. Luann gave me a book last Sunday, and Sherry needed a good long nap on Easter Sunday after we got home, and so she took a good long nap and I read the whole book. It was by Leonard Ravenhill's daughter-in-law, Nancy. I know that some of you have heard of Leonard Ravenhill. He's a great author. He's gone on to glory now. But he was a man of God. Was right here in Minneapolis for a lot of years. Worked with Teen Challenge. Worked with YWAM, Youth of the Mission, and was a man of God. His daughter-in-law, Nancy, who was Schultz, who became a Ravenhill because she married one of Leonard's sons, wrote that book, and it was filled with what God will do when we believe. It was filled with personal instruction to Nancy and David, her husband, and the places they were all over the globe doing the work of God. It was filled with the examples of what Jesus will do when we really believe and stop putting him in a box and say, no, he don't do that no more. It was full of those kind of things. Friends, I don't know if you've noticed or not, but America's in trouble. And I believe Jesus would say to the church today again, get into the world and preach the gospel to every creature, and these signs that Jesus will do will follow. I believe that. To the glory of God and to the awakening, if you will, of this great nation again unto the living God. It's time for the church not to sit back and wonder what's going to happen next, but to go forth in the power of the resurrection in the Spirit of God. It's time for the church to move forward. The tomb is, in fact, empty. It's time for the church to move forward. The power has been unleashed. The Holy Ghost has been poured out upon the church. The commission has been delivered. Go into the world and make disciples. It's not time to sit back and say, that's for somebody else. And I wonder this morning if we really believe, or we believe only what's comfortable, or we believe only in what we can do. Philippians 3:10, I love this as one of my perhaps favorite verses from the New Testament. When Paul is writing to the church at Philippi, I will leave us with this verse in preparation for communion to tie the two together. When Paul wrote the church at Philippi, he said in verse 8, I count all things loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things. You see, he gave up everything. He believed. He gave up everything. The comforts of the world, the possessions, the titles, Pharisee. He gave it all up and said, I count all those things as nothing but to follow Christ and to really believe. But what I really like is what he says in verse 10, when he said, that I may know him, that's Jesus. A head knowledge turning into embracing the cross, embracing the Son of God, being willing to walk with him through good days and hard, being willing to say no to the ways of the world and the luxuries of the world, and to the titles of the Sanhedrin, saying no to all of it, because he said, I believe. And he writes in this verse, that I may know him. That I may really know him. And then he said, and the power of his resurrection. The power of his resurrection. And if that weren't enough, Paul says, I want to take it in my believing him, in my trusting him, in my faith in him, another step. And he said, also, and the fellowship of his suffering. You see, that's where we in America start to get hung up and say, I don't really want to suffer. I don't know that I believe him that much. If he's calling me to persecution and suffer, we don't want to say in America, like Paul said, to know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his suffering. We don't want to go quite that far. And if that weren't enough, he takes it a step further and he says, and be made conformable even unto his death. You see, that's the way Paul believed in the resurrected Christ. I will walk with him even if he calls me to persecution and to suffering and to death. That's the believing he's talking about. But we want to kind of keep some of them things at arm's length. We're not sure we want to suffer. We're not sure we want to be caught up in the power of his resurrection. And we're pretty sure we don't want to be made conformable to die on a cross. That's the way Paul said, I believe. There is power in really believing him, brothers and sisters in Christ. And I believe it is time we embrace the power of the cross and the power of the resurrection and start believing him for who he is and not for who we are. Think he should be. Amen. Amen.